Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigative Podcast on this ninth day of June 2024. I'm hoping you'll be able to hear me over top of the mama birds out here singing this morning and a bit of the wind blowing here on the mountain. But it's much more refreshing to be outside anytime that you can. I take advantage of it. And hopefully the audio quality will not be that bad. So the message this morning, or the talk this morning, is catastrophe. One that's coming, and the response by the baby boomer and Gen X generations. So what is a catastrophe? According to the dictionary, it is a momentous, tragic event ranging from extreme misfortune to utter overthrow or ruin. So this morning in the early hours, this Sunday morning, I awoke to one of those kind of, you're kind of asleep and not really asleep, dreams, if you will, or visions, or whatever you want to call them. It depends on your religious camp on what you're going to call it, quite frankly, or whether you have any theological background or spiritual background, or what you may want to call it. It's really irrelevant. And what I say could be 100% correct, and it could be 100% wrong. If we treat anything that I would say here this morning as a prophecy, then we say we try all prophecy because that's what the Bible would tell you to do. If you're not a religious person, but you think there are things in life that we just know or we have a premonition about, then you can take that into account also. But understand, there's a great opportunity for a miscalculation or a mishearing of something that you're perceiving in your spirit man. And irregardless of your religious background or not, you're made up of a spirit. You have a spirit, soul, and body, and we all are made the same. So we all have that spiritual part of us. So I just kind of want to qualify that to any audience that may be out there listening. I do not proclaim myself to be anything other than just, I know that at times in my life, God speaks to me about specific things. Sometimes I have misinterpreted some of those things to a point, and sometimes the interpretation that I've given has been 100%, but nevertheless, you just take it for whatever you want to take it and go from there with it. But as I was in this dream or whatever this morning, just waking up early, you know, I've gotten to the point about 5:30 in the morning is my time that I start to wake up. And that's about the time that it was. So I started seeing visions of the Twin Towers on the day of 9/11 and seeing the catastrophe. And I actually was recounting in my mind or in this dream, I could, you know, the people jumping out of the windows and the catastrophic events that were happening, all the death and destruction and chaos that was going on and all the upheavalness of society on that day and for many days to come yet. And I felt in my spirit that what God was trying to tell me is there's going to be another one. Not necessarily another attack on buildings like that attack was, but that there is a catastrophic event that's coming. So number one, why would I even put this out for anyone that might listen? We can be forewarned. And when we're forewarned about something, we can do our best to be prepared for events that follow it, or even be prepared to be led by our spirit or our intuition or that gut instinct, ever how you describe it, that might keep us out of particular situations. So as a Christian, I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks and leads and guides us, those that are seeking to hear his voice. But I believe the Spirit talks to every man. I believe since the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as being everywhere all the time, going to and fro as the wind blows, I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to every man, woman, and child. It's just whether we are in position to actually hear or whether we are informed enough to listen to the voice of the Spirit. And he can speak to us in ways in our heart. That's the innermost part, our spirit, when I'm saying our heart. And he can give you these, we call it in law enforcement, we say that gut instinct. My gut instinct told me that this was about to happen or that had just happened. And that's why I took as a law enforcement officer the actions that I did. So I said that long before I ever knew anything about God because I was not raised as a Christian or raised in church. So I had many years in law enforcement before I ever came to the realization of knowing who Christ was and beginning to build a relationship with him. So as I journeyed out and I began to experience more things in the spirit realm, and I began to know that some of these things that I was seeing in dreams and visions and just inclinations that I was having about particular situations was just more than a simple gut instinct. You take it however it is. But if we follow the lead of that instinct that we have for survival, that instinct alone could keep us out of detriment, okay? If it happens to be whatever this catastrophe is that's coming, we might listen to our instinct and say, well, let's just say it was going to be in San Francisco or Nashville or St. Louis or Chicago or New York or LA or anywhere. And we might have a business trip. We might just say, nah, I don't think I want to take that trip, or I don't think I want to go on vacation there right now for whatever reason. You should always follow your instincts, folks, no matter what your standing is in religion or your standing in life or your social economic standing. Don't let any of that. Follow your instinct. So God forewarns us so we can prepare and so we can listen to him. But God also forewarns us on things so that we can know how to be reactionary when something does happen and how to be prepared for the aftermath of such things. Now, there's no way to describe the grief of people that are caught up in a catastrophe. I mean, think about back in October, when Israel was invaded the way they were, and the terrorists come in and just created unmentionable, inhumane acts against another human being, and the suffering that has come around. I mean, okay, on both sides. I mean, there are innocent citizens that are being affected by Israel's war. We can't deny that. We can't deny Israel its right to protect its citizens from such a terrorist act ever happening again. That would be like somebody telling us, when we have this catastrophe that happens again, which I believe will be terrorist related, I believe we're going to have catastrophes weather-wise. I'd already spoke of that months ago, which has already come to pass. But I believe this next mass situation will be terrorist activity. Now, what's going to happen? And where's it coming from? Well, our first thoughts would be, now I don't know where it's coming from. I didn't see that in my dream. And I didn't hear any voice of the Spirit say anything about where exactly it's coming from. I just have to make some presumptions. So we know with terrorists that were already, the people that hate America, the United States of America, irregardless of where they've come from, there are people all over the world, not just in the Middle East, there are people all over the world that hate America. There are people all over the world that want to destroy America and Americans. There are people all over the world that want to take over the United States of America and dictate to freedom-loving Americans, God-loving Americans, how to live. That's not a surprise. And we know for years and years, there have been spies here, there have been cells here, there have been sleeper cells. Now we know with the issues at the borders, and I'm talking north and south, the openness of the borders, the people that are coming across that have already been identified by our own federal government and the FBI and Homeland Security as terrorists, and we don't know where they're at. We know that their goal, that the goal was not to come here and have a better life. Their goal was to come here and destroy life. So we know they're operating. So we know that's a prevalent threat, especially under a liberal government that is seated now. When it comes out and tells you there is a prevalent threat, then you know you can probably pretty much guarantee there's a prevalent threat. Doesn't necessarily have to be that way. There could be internal organizations working. There could be a conspiracy within our own government as far as that goes. A government and military officials that have decided a dictatorship would be better than all this mess that's going on in the elections now. There's probably some high-ranking officials right now saying, we may have to step in and we may have to create an event that will get people's attention. But nevertheless, forget all those theories. Nevertheless, whatever's getting ready to happen, this is the one thing that's unique about this particular dream that I had comparing to past ones. I'm not one of those that ascribe to this great, great end time Christian revival like a lot of your pastors and our evangelists want to tell you that there is. I just don't really see it that the way they describe it. I don't really see it in the Bible, and I don't really perceive it in my spirit either. But I do believe there's going to be a resurgence here, and I don't necessarily believe this resurgence is coming, as many of the right-wing Christians want to say, from the movement of the church and the building and the glorifying of the church. Now, God's church, I don't disagree, should be built up and glorified, because we're talking about deity. We're talking about a divine entity. I call him Jesus Christ. And there's no doubt that his kingdom, to us who believe in him, we were told, build that kingdom. No ifs, no ands, and no buts about it. Clear marching orders. But I don't necessarily believe it. This resurgent for America will come from the right wing. Here's what I was perceiving. And as I spent some time communing with God this morning early, I came out here on the deck and just spent some time trying to discern out what God was saying to me at that particular time about this particular situation. And the one thing I began to feel the inclination of the Spirit was that the response to this situation is going to happen. There's going to be a catastrophe, America. It is coming. It is coming. However, unique to what I generally see, this one is going to have a response from two generations that I mentioned here, the baby boomers and the Gen X's that came after us. I'm a baby boomer. So if you were born between 1946 and 1964, you are considered the baby boomer generation. Now, baby boomers are, you know, I'm on the younger edge of that baby boomers. A lot of baby boomers have already passed on. But about 60% of our U.S. Congress now and Senate is made up of baby boomers still. So we know they are looking at aging-related issues and medical-related issues, or they should be, and they have the influence and they have the money. So baby boomers still have some say-so in life, even though we are feeling like we've been put aside and we've started to grow silent. This catastrophe is going to reactivate us. I believe that our generation and Gen X, those born from 64, 65 on up to 80 something, 75, about 80, 81-ish. Now, your Gen X, y'all were kind of just caught, lost out there in the middle. Y'all, your generation just kind of was almost silent. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard people talk about the middle child syndrome, the middle child always gets overlooked, et cetera, et cetera. Y'all, if you ascribe to that train of thought, you guys, as related to historical events, is what, you know, the baby boomer generation has that one pinpoint historical event, the end of World War II. We are the really only ones that really have that significance, except for the generation after Gen X, my children's generation, the millennials. You had the life-defining event of 9/11 happened if you were 4 or 5 years old at that time anyway, and then you grew up with it, just like I grew up with Vietnam, the Vietnam War. You've grown up with 9/11 and then the wars in the Middle East. So you kind of are close to the baby boomers, you millennials. And I believe you millennials, some of you are going to change your thought process after this catastrophic event happens, and you're not going to be quite as passive and as liberal as you have been this up to this point in your life. You've been somewhat concerned, but not overly concerned. And I believe this event's going to change your generation also, but I believe the leaders that's going to come in this unified response to this catastrophe that's getting ready to happen will be led by the baby boomers, are going to say, I'm old, but I'm not stupid. I don't have the energy that I used to have, but I still do have some, and I have a voice to speak out, and I have some finances to put towards it, and I have, most of all, I have wisdom to give. Folks, you gain wisdom with age. And then you Gen Xers, you've kind of just been right there in the middle. You're not really said a lot. I think you're going to activate after this one. I think the baby boomers, the Gen X generations, are going to come together and lead a movement that will give resurgence to America after this attack, a catastrophic event that's going to happen. And I believe you will reach out to, and you millennials are going to be easier to persuade in this event, in this movement, of your obligations, both as an American national and just as a moral person, whether you're a Christian or not. I believe you're going to see left and right come together. In other words, a lot of people that's been on the far right is going to change their mind about some things. A lot of people on the left are going to change their mind about things. And there's going to be this merging come together, sort of in a middle ground road, is going to start to happen in America. Because you're going to realize, now whether God is just going to deal with you all individually because he's a big God and he can, I don't know, or whether it's just the wisdom that God has already instilled in you that you didn't really know God instilled there, but you know it's coming from somewhere. I'm not talking about education. I'm talking about wisdom. There's two different things. And I believe you're going to merge together and you're going to say, okay, politicians, Democrats, Republicans, et cetera, I believe you're going to say, this is enough. This is the last time this needs to happen. And certainly this is the last time this needs to happen during my generation. And I think when these generational wisdoms come together, these generational resources come together, these generational hearts come together, I believe you're going to see a response in America that we have not seen since the Revolutionary War. I believe you will see a united response to the catastrophic events that are going to happen by normal, everyday Joe and Sally. Okay? We are the forgotten one. Even if you're highly educated, and maybe you even have millions of dollars in resources and you're doing well in life, but your voice is still not being heard. you're still being overlooked. And this country is still going in directions that you don't want it to go in. I believe you're going to unite. Now, the problem's going to be, after this catastrophic event, there will be people that in the religious circles that try to take it over. There will be people in the philosophical circles try to take it over. There will be people in the educational environment try to take it over and say, no, this is the way it needs to be. Listen to me, please, America. You have a common ground to stand on. You have a common ground to stand on. And you know what it is? It's not your freedom of religion. It's not your freedom to own a gun. It's your essence to just be a free individual that can go out here and live your life, respect those around you, and have those respect you, including your government. And as you go about your daily duties, knowing that efforts and principles and policies and protection is in place to allow you the most peaceful life possible to man, at least for a season. There will always be wars. There will always be rumors of wars until the end of the end. There will always be. When the end of the end will be, I'm trying not to get too theological this morning, but until the end of the end comes, and or the end of our life comes, many of us that are older, we know we don't have many years left on this earth in this particular life. Some of us are looking forward to an afterlife. Some of you are not. That seems to be a terrible place to be, not looking forward to anything after this. Because quite frankly, this life just hadn't been all that peachy keen, at least not for me. And you know, in my professions, in the 26 years I spent as a pastor, and as the 44 years I've spent total in a bubble of criminal justice, both in law enforcement and private practice, private investigations, you take the counsel and the ministry, the counsel and investigations, and the counsel that I've given, and the issues that I've seen in law enforcement, I just got to tell you, there's not too many people have a tiptoe through the tulip's life. And most of the ones I found out that try to indicate that they do, to the, especially to the public, their lives are screwed up more than anybody else's. And we have this issue as life. We can go on the theological side and says it's because of sin. Or we can just simply go on the side, the rest of you can go on the side, well, I just did a stupid thing. I made a stupid decision, or I didn't think this decision out, and it's caused me all this havoc in my life. You can look at it any way you want to look at it. It doesn't matter how you look at it, why you are where you are. Truthfully, it really doesn't matter. But this is coming. This event's coming. So what do? Number one, you follow your leading. You follow your spirit, or you follow your gut, and you stay out of things that you think might be that. The number two thing is you do everything you can do for natural preservation. Disruption of electricity, disruption of food service, disruption of communication service, et cetera, disruption of your jobs, just like in the catastrophic lie of COVID. You do things to prepare for survival as much you can, but then you're going to be prepared mentally for this, and you say, okay, what can I do to be a part of the change and response to what just happened to me and my fellow American citizens now that are highly grieved, for those that are caught up in it, and there are going to be lives lost. There's going to be wealth lost. It's going to be hard for this nation to recover from, and individuals especially. But we can. And we will, because I believe that is still what our destiny is for at least one more season of time. Now, how long it'll last, I don't know. and whether people, and I don't know whether people will respond, whether John Q. Citizen will respond appropriately or not to see the results, but I believe it will, and I believe it can happen. So be prepared, America. Be prepared, America. If you are a God-loving person that believes and trusts in God, then get out of your religion. Don't worry about what your denomination says. Just get close to God as you can humanly possibly get. You're going to need that relationship because you're going to need that solace that one can only find when they have relationship with an almighty God. Number two, the natural things you can do. Number three, be prepared and plan your unified response with your fellow American citizens. That's where you need to be based on what I've seen and what I've heard. Again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm right, you're prepared. This is the Patriot Trainer. I will see you again.